Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you
and also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read this morning in half verse. O Lord, our governor,
how exalted is your name in all the world.
Out of the mouths of infants and children,
your majesty is praised above the heavens.
You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries,
to quell the enemy and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and the stars you have set in their courses,
what is man that you should be mindful of him?
The son of man that you should seek him out.
You have made him but little lower than the angels.
You adorn him with glory and honor.
You give him majesty over the works of your hands.
You put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen.
Even the wild beasts of the field.
Birds of the air, the fish of the sea.
And whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our governor.
How exalted is your name in all the world.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's every being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Pharisees came And to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
To you, Lord Christ.
We fill pages and pages, books and books, libraries and libraries with words describing our world and the space around it as far as we can see and beyond. And all those libraries and universities and cities and countries and this world in which they reside are not even visible in the 1972 big blue marble photograph of Earth taken from 18,000 miles away. We do believe, don't we, that God who created this world in which we live also created all that vast expanse and everything beyond that which we can see or hear or theorize using our most powerful instruments in our brains, all that. Today's collect dates from the 7th century, and we've been praying in those words ever since, in some form or another, and probably before that. That's just what's recorded. Almighty and everlasting, it begins. Almighty. Everlasting. Pretty big concepts there. All power, all time, past and future. Our pronouns, as so many of us have said before, are problematic. We refer to this all everything force. Well, first of all, is a being, something, someone that exists, that is, that has life. We talk to that force or energy or being in the same way we talk to each other. Until recently, we've even said he to refer to that force, energy, being. Well, limitations of language, right? I mean, it doesn't sound right to our ears at all, especially since we believe this being, this supreme being, all being, is somehow personal. That is, relates to each of us as a person. Still, the ancients didn't have many problems with that idea, evidently, because the territory was too big for just one such being, and they were all either male or female. And the way society was arranged in those times, it made sense that it would be a man in charge of the rest of the deities, the lesser god. And finally, the only god. But for us, and what we know about how we men have handled things, come on. Seems unlikely that it would be a guy. Not that women are much better. We all, male and female, and everything else in the gender mix these days, find ways to live our lives that are shockingly less than inspiring. Still, a personal God. That seems to be good news, bad news. Good, because we can relate to God as a friend. Bad, because even our friends let us down at some point, even those we love the most. I mean, if we're being completely honest here, nobody's perfect. So that's God, this prime mover behind, below, above, within, enveloping everything that is. The Kalik makes or implies some pretty remarkable claims about God and about us, God's people. God is ready to listen to our prayers before we've even formed them. God is ready to give us more than we want or deserve. Here's the way we picture that illimitable, ununderstandable creative force. He made a couple of new beings, human, in one version of the story, and in today's version, it was first one, and then with some creative surgery, another. And then God talks to them. They listen, at least in the early stages. Actually, no, it doesn't appear to be God that speaks to them first. It's Adam, translation, man, who has the first word. Good job, he says, or implies. Because now this is someone I can relate to, because she's just like me, except for a couple of minor physical differences. It's like I'm looking at myself. And so, by the way, is how we depict God, looking like us. Well, the psalmist and the writer of the letter to the Hebrews seems to hit the nail on the head. What are human beings that you, God, should be mindful of them? Actually, it struck me when we were reading it together just now, it's like, what are you, God, that you should be mindful of us? But the question is, what are we? I don't think we can answer either question any better than either of those writers could, but it's a well-placed question. It might be the question of the day, the question of the millennium, the question of all time. Why should it matter whether we live or die? But there do seem to be forces at work within this creation, or a force at work, that leans toward our survival and more than just survival. Maybe that's enough evidence for us to posit a benign, even sympathetic force behind everything. After all, we're still here. that huge, potent, omnipotent, omnipotent, all-powerful force, we believe, was uniquely present in the standard issue human being named Jesus. We've talked before about the Greek term kenosis, which we roughly translate as God's self-emptying quality in order to become a human being. Let's think about that for just a moment in light of all the above. It's not just a matter of setting aside all knowingness or limiting means of transport to get from one place to another. It's setting aside all that allness to become one particular example of that speck of creation known as a human being. All of the foregoing poured into one human-sized container, walking around in the heat with sand and mud between its toes, getting blisters and getting thirsty and hungry and getting a lot worse than that. That's the specific deal we're talking about here. He's a human being who is barraged with questions like, how do we go about divorce? And how should we treat each other in that process and afterwards? Finally, this Jesus, this God walking around among us says, look, it's not like you're going to understand all this. Better you should just be like a little kid, not pretending to understand at all. Instead, just looking in a wide-eyed way at the world and trusting that that songwriter got it right. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. Well, back to the collect where we began. As I said, we've been praying these words for at least 1,500 years. These particular words, whether they were in English or Greek or anything else. With these words, we tell ourselves and acknowledge to God that God knows what we're about better than we do. God knows what we want better than we do. God, again, all that I said before and more than that, that God wants good things for us, forgives us for all the wrong we've done, and more than we deserve hardly tells the story. There's no question of our deserving. We didn't bring ourselves or all of this into being. We're here only because we're part of the Creator's creation. No wonder we continue to pray that way. No wonder we trust that God, that word again, holds us in a higher regard than we do ourselves. No wonder that we are grateful for all that. Actually, yes, wonder. Big wonder. All wonder. That in this world we continue to believe and pray and trust. And we say, in our overly familiar way, addressing this almighty, everlasting being, the only thing there is to say, thank you, God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, our bishops, and Michael, our priest,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give grace to us to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
We pray especially for John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Gary, June, Cheryl, Carolyn, Jill, Mary, Deb, Alan, James, Lynn, Christiane, Patrick, Dale, Karen, Gail, Abigail, Robin, Virginia, Maureen, David, Kenyon, Sarah, Lindsay, Carol, Tyler, Sheila, Donna, Donald, Caitlin, Norman, Joe, Jim, Gilbert, Ann, Jenny, Alice, Ellie, Leah, Merle, Charisse, RG, Rashunda, Marianne, Betty, Melissa, the people in Afghanistan, Charles, Patty, Ryan, Glenda, Winifred, Shelley, Leslie, Doug, Butch, Cindy, Linda, Dan, Alan, Ed, the Degater family, William, Joe, Greg, Mark, Bonnie and Ed, Diane, Craig, Carol, Calvin, all the women in the Hutto facility, and for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Jonathan, Kevin, Chris, Gerard, Brian, Eric, and all in harm's way. Give to the departed eternal rest, especially Abakuk Ramos and Glenn Childers.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray for all who have died from the coronavirus and all who mourn their passing. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Please unmute yourselves if you wish to pray aloud.
For Amber and Kevin and Sherry
and Caden.
I ask your prayers for all who are traveling this week.
For Charles, Chelsea, Hayes, Sarah, David, and Barry.
And for Gina.
For me. On the plains.
I ask your thanksgivings for Jim Curran and Lynn Gray, who celebrate their birthdays this week. Praise God for all those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please unmute yourselves. Click, click, click. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace
be with you all.
Peace, everybody.
Hi, Georgie.
Hey, Sarah.
Peace be with you.
Happy birthday, Lynn.
Happy birthday, Lynn.
Thank you.
21, right?
Of course.
It's holding.
All right, we'll do this blessing, we'll sing a hymn, and then we'll dismiss ourselves to stay right where we are and have coffee together. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
please unmute yourselves as I remind you, the hymn says, crown him Lord of all. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.